I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. This morning is a special day for us as we install a new elder. And so we're going to skip one section that we started last week on suffering, and we'll come back to that in a couple weeks. Hopefully not the suffering, but the teaching on suffering. But let me prepare our hearts for this passage by setting it in what the Old Testament tells us about our Lord. We start with a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Then listen to Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And then Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Now look at our text, 1 Peter chapter 5, and let me read for us verses 1 through 4. We're not going to get through the whole thing. We're going to do verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, but let me give you the whole text. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this text right here before us. Thank you that you are our shepherd. And we pray that you would now shepherd our hearts. You would guard our thinking. You would cause us to eat and drink deeply from your word. And that you would help us to apply these truths to our lives. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for what you've done in our lives. May this all be to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What is an elder? What is an elder? There are six things that I want to give you from verse 1 on what an elder is. And we're going to dive right into it. First thing, an elder is one of a group of godly appointed men. One of a group of godly appointed men. Peter starts this section by saying that he exhorts the elders among you. What is an exhortation? It's a strong encouragement, an urging to take action. And we've already seen that these churches are in a time of suffering. They've suffered, and more persecution is on its way. And so Peter is setting up for them how to persevere through this trial. And one of those blessings is strong leadership. A blessing to the church is strong leadership. For it is the leaders that must set the example and then give direction to the church that is in the midst of suffering. So Paul begins with this plural word, presbyteros. And you know this Greek word because it's where the word Presbyterian comes from. A Presbyterian church is called Presbyterian because of its form of government, its form of church government being a plurality of elders. And so that's the word elders, presbyteros, more than one. And Peter indicates by just writing to them, he's not commanding them to set up elders. Paul does that in other places, but Peter here assumes that that's what has taken place. In other words, it's a given that they're going to have a plurality of elders. And this would have been a natural leadership organizational structure for Jewish congregations because the synagogues were set up with a council of elders. But Peter now, remember, is writing to congregations that are mixed, both Jews and Gentiles. And so he doesn't completely assume it, but he uses the word in the plural to drive home the point that it should be more than one. And you can see in almost any organizational structure or corporation in the world today that this is a wise practice. There's a board, there's a council, there's a staff, there's officers, there's advisors in almost any company, any organization, any corporation that you look at. Now, of course, there are major differences between the church and our mission and a secular organization, but this shows us that there is almost a universal understanding that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, or even that there is safety in numbers. With a plurality, there is accountability, and there are checks and balances. One elder may be very gifted in one area and another in another area, and so they balance one another. And one may be so passionate about something that it takes the church off track, and there might be another that says, now wait a second, let's slow down and let's examine this. And so there's a series of checks and balances. Now, I've told you before that there were two very tangible things that drew me to accept your call to me as pastor. One of those is what you see right here in this room, and that is that we worship together. From the smallest children to the most elderly in our congregation, we are together. I love that. I think that's as it should be. That we as one body are learning from each other, we're growing together, and we're preferring others before ourselves. That was one thing that was very attractive to me. But the other was this, that in each of the three churches where I pastor, that there was a strong board of elders in each church that was seeking to honor and glorify God. Imperfect, because there is no elder board that is perfect. There is no church that is perfect. There is no person that is perfect. But three churches that recognize the importance of a plurality of elders. And so the first thing is that an elder is one of a group of godly appointed men. The second thing is that an elder is a spiritually mature man. A spiritually mature man. And we get this from the word elder. When we think of elder, we think of someone that's older. And in most cases, I would say, that's going to be the case of those that are leaders in the church. However, I think this is a description of the spiritual life of this man, that he is spiritually mature. The agedness of the elders is going to vary depending upon the makeup of the congregation. But Paul is clear that this man should not be a novice or a new convert. They must be godly men who love Christ, who love his word, are able to teach and meet the other biblical qualifications that Paul lays out in Timothy and Titus. But they might be fairly young, as were both Timothy and Titus, young men that Paul writes to that are being appointed as elders and taught what that should look like. But let me say this. If a young man is appointed to be an elder, he had better have wisdom beyond his years. He had better be one that is steeped in the Word of God, that is mature spiritually. And so an elder is a spiritually mature man. Third, an elder is part of a local congregation. Look at what Peter writes here. So I exhort the elders among you, a small phrase, but it speaks great truths. The elders were among the local congregation. And we see here, this is made clear, it's abundantly clear if you observe the text, if you observe the whole epistle, that the elders were among the people. Look at the fact that he doesn't even address the elders until the end of the letter. Can you imagine receiving this letter from Peter? And I don't know if it was the person who brought the letter or if it was one of the elders in the church that stood up, unrolled the scroll, and started reading. So if it's one of the elders or the person that brought it, either way, there's going to be other elders sitting with the congregation, listening and taking it in. And so they would have, right along with the rest of the congregation, they would have been learning about perseverance in trials, about the priesthood of believers, about the precious blood of Christ, about husbands and wives' roles, about holy living, about self-control and sober-mindedness, about prayer, about love, hospitality, and service. And then it comes to this section on elders, and they hear it and they say, oh, Peter has some specific instruction for me as well. They hadn't been looking for it to blow up their heads and say, the elders are great, they're amazing. No, it was at the end, after they had been sitting and learning it all with the congregation, then there's instruction to the elders. And so it shows that there's respect for the elders, but the elders were not above the people, they were among the people. The elders were not distant from the people, but rather like a family, they were the loving fathers of the congregation. And so, an elder is part of the local congregation, an integral part of the local congregation. Fourth, an elder is humble. An elder is humble. Look at what Peter says here. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, as a fellow elder. At the start of the book, Peter stated that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. What does it mean that he's an apostle? Well, it meant that he walked with Christ. It meant that he saw the transfiguration. He saw the crucifixion. He saw the resurrected Christ, and he saw the ascension. He could have, having done all that, having experienced all that, he could have wrote a pompous letter saying, I'm an apostle, now this is what you should do. He doesn't have that tone at all. He comes alongside them. If you read through the book of Acts, you see that the apostles start to take more of a position as elders. And Peter is an elder in the church in Jerusalem. And so he writes to his fellow elders. This is the humility of Peter on display. Though he does have unique authority as an apostle, he exhorts the elders as one of their equals, brother to brother. And I say to my fellow elders here, this is a tremendous example for us, that we are humble men in the midst of the congregation and humble towards one another, where we love one another, we prefer others' opinions, ideas, plans above our own. where we say, I believe you have some wisdom, and I'm going to prefer you before myself. So an elder is humble. Fifth, an elder proclaims the gospel. An elder proclaims the gospel. Look at what Peter says next. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. We've already stated that he's an apostle, and of course he witnessed Christ's sufferings. But we've seen all through this epistle that he keeps coming back to this. He keeps coming, no matter what he's teaching, whether it's on suffering, whether it's on husband and wife roles, whatever it is, he comes back to the sufferings of Christ, because the gospel is the center of everything that we do and who we are. And so he comes back to the gospel, back to the gospel. And it says that he is a witness. Now, you're only a witness if you speak of what you've seen. You are only a witness if you speak of what you've seen. Because a lot of people might observe a car accident, but only those who get up and testify or who write out a statement are the ones who are the witnesses, those who speak of what they've seen. And so Peter here is a witness. He is speaking of what he has seen, the gospel. And so an elder, we continually come back to preaching the gospel right in the midst of the congregation and to the community. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. We keep coming back to the gospel. So an elder proclaims the gospel. Sixth, an elder is sure of his salvation. He is sure. He is confident in his Savior. He is sure of his salvation. Look at what Peter says next. As well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. This is an amazing statement. Peter says, Christ is coming again. And we've seen that all through this letter as well. But he says, I am a partaker of that. I know when he comes back, I'll be part of those who are taken to be with him forever. I am a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. What an important thing for an elder to be sure of his faith so that he can help others who don't know if they're a believer or not to bring them back to the gospel and say, this is the gospel. And so an elder is sure of his salvation. Notice, just by way of observation of the text, the time factor here again. He says that's going to be revealed, or it might be more literally read, that is about to be revealed. Peter is sure of this one thing, that everything has been accomplished that needs to, and the next thing on God's timetable is the return of Christ. And if that was true 2,000 years ago, it's even more true today. The next thing on God's timetable is the return of Christ. So let me sum up what an elder is according to verse 1. An elder is a godly, spiritually mature man, a humble man who is walking with the church through the struggles and triumphs of life in light of the near return of Christ. Let me say it again. An elder is a godly, spiritually mature, and humble man who is walking with the church through struggles and triumphs of life in light of the near return of Christ. And he is not a one-man show, but he is one of several men who are qualified and appointed to lead. Now we can add to this what Peter says next, that an elder is a shepherd. An elder is a shepherd. The Latin word for shepherd is pastor. And so a pastor is an elder, an elder is a pastor. So you literally could refer to the elders in our church, you could refer to all of them as pastors. So let's ask this question, what does an elder or pastor do? We're going to explore this more next week, but we're going to get into it by looking at this phrase, shepherd the flock of God among you. What does it mean to shepherd the flock of God among you? We've already noted how God is called the shepherd of his people throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus also often used this imagery, as in Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep and the shepherd that goes after them. John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Peter probably has those things in mind, but I think at the top of his mind is what Jesus said to him on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after Jesus' resurrection to restore Peter back to ministry. He came up to Peter and he said, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He asked him three times. And Peter said, "I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you." And what was Jesus' response? His response was this: "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." And so Peter took this personal commission from Jesus seriously. And now, 30 years later, he uses almost the exact same phrase to exhort his fellow elders. And so he says, "Shepherd the flock of God among you." What is shepherding? Shepherding means that elders are to spiritually protect, lead, guide, and feed the people of God, those that have been entrusted to their care. Now, let's think of this in terms of ranching. What is the primary job of a rancher? Who am I to tell you? You know, but hear me out. Certainly, you have to protect your herd from predators, thieves, and bad weather. You have to vaccinate your herd for sickness or disease. You have to make sure that they don't wander off and get lost or injured. And so someone might correct me after this sermon, but I dare say the main thing you do is that you feed your cattle. The primary thing you do is you feed your cattle. All summer long, they're eating grass in the good pasture, and then you lead them to another pasture where they have more good grass to eat. And then, if it's a good year, you're haying so that you can store up food for the winter, and then all winter long, you roll out good hay and you cake all winter long. Listen to me. If your cattle are starving, they have no strength for the vaccination to work. And if they die from starvation, you have no need to guard them. You don't have a flock anymore. A herd. You can correct me on that one afterwards. Also, if they starve to death, there's no need to protect them. So the primary thing to do is feed them. Likewise, pastors and elders need to lead, guide, and protect the flock of God. But in John 21 that I just referenced, Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep twice, and he told them to tend or take care of my sheep once. The priority being feeding the sheep, teaching the milk and the meat of the word. This has to be a priority for the pastors and elders of a church. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. This is strong language. Listen to it. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom," hear these words, "preach the word." He doesn't say have a fancy show. Give them something tasty. He says, "Preach the word." Why? Well, he goes on, "Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." You see, brothers, we are not called to come up with a fancy new teaching. We're not called to accept the latest Christian fad. We're called to preach the word of God. No more and no less. Preach the word. Part of feeding the flock is protecting their food supply, to make sure it's healthy, make sure it's nutritious. In feeding your cattle, you can't just give them any moldy hay. You can't give them fermented silage. You want to feed them the most nutritious feed you can. As elders, we must guard to make sure that the congregation is fed. That is, taught sound doctrine. Now notice also that Peter repeats this phrase, among you. Among you. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So first we saw that elders were among the congregation, and here the congregation is among the elders. The idea is clear that they're to be together. An elder who isn't with his people will not be able to protect, lead, guide, and feed them. Now think again of your ranch. Whose cattle are you responsible for? It has been wonderful for me to come and see how people share work, that they labor together, that they swap responsibility, swap labor. But when it comes down to it, whose herd are you responsible for? You are responsible for your own herd, for your own. And how do you know that it's your herd? Well, what do you do immediately? You tag them. And then as soon as you can, you brand them before they might wander away or before they're stolen. We, the elders of this church, this local congregation, we are responsible for the souls of this local church. That is one reason, and this is a bit of an advertisement, more to come later, but that is one reason that membership is so important in the life of a church. It is so important to be part and parcel of a local church. If you have put your faith in Christ, and if you have been baptized, you should join a local church so that you can be spiritually accountable and so that the elders can help you walk with God and persevere in the faith. It is important to join yourself to the local church, and we'll speak more of that next week. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This passage says that we will give an account for these souls. Oh, if that doesn't sober you, I don't know what does. I will stand before God and give an account for your soul. That sobers me to the core. I can't get over that day in and day out. I think, Lord, who is able to do this? Who is able to shepherd souls? I give an account for these souls. This is sobering. Peter says that this is God's flock. This is his flock. No congregation belongs to a pastor or elders. This is God's flock. And another side note, brothers, my fellow elders, our focus is the flock. Our focus is the flock, not the building and not the organization. Hear me, on your ranch, it's important to have a barn. It's important to have a plan for operating your ranch. But that's not the focus. The focus is the herd. We are the church, and we are called to shepherd the flock. This flock right here is redeemed by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. It belongs to God. It is entrusted to us as human under-shepherds. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. The writer of Hebrews calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. Brothers, this should be a sobering and yet an empowering truth. God's flock implies that ultimately, he will be the one to protect, lead, guide, and feed his people. Ultimately, it's God's job, but he entrusts it to humble, sinful men. Oh, the gravity of that. But how empowering that this is God's flock and he will accomplish his will. He will do what he is working in each individual life and in our life as a body, as a whole. And so, my fellow elders, I say be encouraged and be sobered that this is God's flock. And so we come full circle to where we started. And we could all say this: the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this text that I've had to study and preach to myself all week long. Oh, thank you for the clarity of your word. We're not left to wonder how to do this. You've given us clear direction. I pray that we would be faithful to you, that we as the elders of Kadoka Presbyterian Church would be faithful to the great shepherd of the sheep, that as under shepherds, we would care for the souls that you have entrusted to us. Give us wisdom. We lack wisdom. Give us strength. We lack strength. Give us resolve. We often lack resolve. Give us a heart that is completely dedicated to you. Often we go after other things. Holy Spirit, empower us and strengthen us and remind us that this is God's flock. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.